Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Farnell Newton, educator, composer, arranger, and trumpeter. Do you love good jazz and great jazz conversation? You'll hear it all on Coffee Talk Jazz Radio Los Angeles with one of the best broadcasters and radio hosts in the business, Miss Bridgette. What happens when straight-ahead jazz meet hip-hop fusion? You've captured the essence of real jazz music, and that's exactly what you'll hear in my new project, Class Is Now in Session. You can pick it up at iTunes, Amazon, CD Baby, and more, and you can also check me out at www.farnellnewton.com. Be sure to tune in each week and get your jazz fix right here on Coffee Talk Jazz Radio.
Hello, 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 and welcome to an afternoon edition of Coffee Talk Jazz Radio with award-winning host, Miss Bridgette Lewis. That is me. Boy, do we have a power-packed show for you today, and I'm going to do my best to behave, you guys, but it's hard because I have an incredible guest that I'm going to introduce shortly, but I got to tell you guys, the phones are already lit. Folks are logging in from all across the country and even around the world. So I'm just going to go ahead and just introduce our guest, and then I'll let you guys know who is actually logged on live. His name is Gino Cole, also known as Classic Twist. And here's what I have to say about this gentleman. He is a compelling and creative force, singer, songwriter, and book author. He's been singing for over 3 decades, and he traverses R&B, gospel, soul, pop as an inspirational guidepost. I'd like to welcome the newest member to the Coffee Talk Jazz radio platform. Hello, hello, hello. Gino is in the virtual building.
Hello.
I was trying to say, I can't help myself. I was trying.
That's why I just had to laugh. I had to take that one in. I've been knowing you too long. I'm going to be good.
I know. It's like a knee-jerk reaction, but before I tell the fans how we met, how we know each other, let me just let you guys know kind of like what's going on today with today's show. You guys, we have a lot to get to. We're going to be talking about the music, the magic, and the mission. We have so much ground to cover. We're going to celebrate birthdays. We're going to celebrate this day in music and this day in jazz history. But you guys, let me just tell you guys who are listening live, New York is showing out today. Hello, Buffalo, the Bronx, Kings County, Harlem, and Chappaqua, New York. Hello, hello, hello. We also see that Florida's in the building. We have a huge presence. Key West, Florida, Saratoga, Tallahassee, Miami, Clearwater, and Fort Myers, Florida. You guys, we have some gifts to give away today, but you can't win if you don't call in. So there's a criteria to winning. So there are certain questions I'm going to ask you throughout the show, and if you can remember the answer, then I have a nice little gift for you, and it could be anything from a Starbucks gift card to a Coffee Talk Jazz t-shirt. Could be some giveaways to a jazz festival. So, again, we don't know. More folks are logging in as well. Baltimore, let's see. Baltimore, Rosedale, Baltimore, hello. Mid River, Baltimore, hello. Park Villa, Baltimore. Hello, hello, hello. This is a huge show. Garrison, hello, hello. Canada, oh, Quebec City. Oh, my goodness, 520 folks are logging in from Quebec. We see you. Vancouver, 625, hello. Toronto, 338, hello. And Edmonton, 970. All right, I see you. Well, Gino, you may have to do a show in Canada. What do you think about that?
You know, I'll go today. Send me a ticket. I'm on my way.
OMG. So, you guys, let me just tell you a little bit about this gentleman. You know, you've heard of a triple threat, right? So singer, songwriter, producer, performer that just pulls you in. His stage presence magnetizes you. He's a lyricist and an author. I mean, you know, some people get one gift, but God just blew on him and said, here you go. So he just gave him everything. And I'll tell you guys how I knew and how I actually met Gino. I'm going to take you back in my, it was 2015, and it was at the NAMM show, and we were on the plaza at the pro, we were at the plaza at the NAMM show. And we were actually introduced by a very good friend of both of ours. His name is Mario. And Mario was my photographer. And we used to have so much fun together. And he introduced me to Gino. And we've known each other for a really, really long time. And from the first day that I heard Gino sing, what did I say to you, if you remember, if anything?
No, I don't remember. I want to hear it again.
I just remember looking in your eyes. I just remember looking in your eyes. I said, my God, what a gift you are to the world of music. And I meant that, because to hear your tonality, to hear the way that you pull me in. I mean, you know how much music I listen to and all the people
right.
that I know in the music world. And then when I heard your voice and I said, my God, like, who are you and where have you been? And can we do something together. But God's timing is everything. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And it's time. Yep. And so with that being said, when did you first fall in love with music?
I fell in love with music, I mean, when I was a kid. But as far as performing music, I actually didn't fall in love with, per se, music. I fell in love with the effect that music had on others.
Ooh. Wow. So that's a great segue into my next question. When you are performing live on stage or in an intimate setting, do you know when you have connected with your audience?
Yeah.
How do you know that?
It's a feel that I get, and it's usually within the first minute or so of a song. I mean, it's the, I know if I've connected with you, and usually it's song selection, understanding your crowd and what they're looking for. And because I prefer the more intimate shows as opposed to the large ones, because I like to connect with the crowd as if they were in my living room. And so when I can fill the room, or I just kind of focus on maybe one person, something is drawing me towards one person. It's just this feeling thing that I get that just, it just feels warm. And then you just go from there at that point.
Okay, when you said that, here's what it made me think about when I first heard you sing. And I've seen you perform many times at Spaghettini's, and I can tell when you connect with an audience. And when you connect with an audience, what I've seen is I see people are mesmerized, or they're scooting. Did I say scoot? Y'all, I'm from the country. Come on now, I'm a Houston girl, right? Did I say scoot? Yeah, I said it. They scoot kind of like to the front. They kind of scoot in their chair. They kind of lean forward, head tilted, and the jaws like drop. So it's like you kind of like got them at hello. And I would say that that's really a gift, and that's hard to do. But I know that's what you do for people, you know, when you perform. And I think it is a lost art. No disrespect for all those people who make a gazillion and gazillions and gazillions of dollars.
Right,
that's all well and
right.
good. But the thing that's most important to me as a producer, as a broadcaster, I want the artist's music to make an impact. I want that person
right.
who hears you, I want there to be some type of takeaway, because people are going through a lot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I can use the pandemic as a good segue to what I'm going to say. You know, during the pandemic, I think that music was the center point. It was something that kept people grounded. It was something that was really kind of the only thing that people had, because there was the social distancing, of course. You know, we couldn't go out anywhere. And so what I want to know is, how many hundreds of songs did you write during the pandemic? Because you are.
Oh, wait. Oh, man. That, actually, to be honest with you, during the pandemic was definitely one of my periods where I was writing a lot. But the book really took over during that time. But I was writing, I mean, truly, I'd say at least 4 to 5 a month. For a while, because they were just coming to me. And then, because I had kind of changed up my style more, it wasn't just about jazz anymore. It was about change, the world, the changes that we need, and how to connect and how to love and unity and all of those kind of things. So my whole, you know, I've always written about love, but it was basically love about romance and relationship. But now we really need love to get back on track, because that's the one thing that's gonna save us.
Wow. When you are writing a song, would you say, what is most important? Is it the melody? Is it the groove? Is it the lyric? Like, what is the most important part of a song?
To me, it's the lyric, first being the hook, the catchy part of the song. But it's the lyric because I know that, and like you said, no disrespect to the music of today, because it's a lot of great music. But
oh, yeah, absolutely.
when I was listening to music, those lyrics, you just remembered them. You could sing along with them, and they had so much depth to them, whereas there's a lot of music out there now that is more about the music and the bass and the kick and all of that. So, you know, when you're listening to it, it's like, okay, you have to go back to hear what they said. It sounded pretty, but you're not sure what the lyrics said. You know? And so that's why it's really important for me as far as when I'm writing lyrics, that's the biggest part for me.
Wow. We're going to be playing three of your tracks today in no particular order, but I kind of want to go back for a moment. You know, you've been in this business for 30 years, so you have seen a lot, the ups, the downs, the ins, the outs, the highs, and the lows. And so my question to you is, what would you say is the best way to build successful relationships in this music business? Because sometimes folks can be so dang flaky.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You know, and all you can do is be true to you. There's really no way to answer that question, because if you're doing everything that you would do in the normal, like you and I, we weren't talking every day, but we stayed in touch, whether it was just a little something on you know, Messenger or something like that. But we stayed true to our friendship and the trust and the love. But there are some people that you believe you have that until it's time, you know, to call in hey, let's do this, or what's really going on, and all of those kind of things, and then it kind of falters sometimes. So how do you maintain? You just continue being you. That's all you can do.
Yeah. See, when you said that, I really feel like with that answer, you really are like a musical mentor, and so that's a good segue into the next question that I have. How important is it to pass the music baton on to the next generation, because they think they know? But as my late mother would say, what some people know, you could put it like in a pinhead, which meant, you know, we know what that means, right? But
right.
So how important is it really to pass the baton on to the next generation and kind of really get them ready? Because we love the music, but this is also a business. So can we talk about that?
Well, it's important to pass it on, because music is going to go on forever. And mm-hmm. if you can pass it on with some type of message, because they're going to take it to where they need to take it to. And again, it's hard for me as a more of a lyricist than a producer, but somebody who really hones in on what the song is talking about and how to touch your heart. So when I'm listening to some of this stuff nowadays, and I compare it to what I was listening to when I was listening to Luther, or I was listening to Phil Perry.
Oh, come on now. Can we talk about it?
So when I was listening to those cats, and I, you know, you listen to the songs, you want not only your girl to hear it, but you want your boys to hear it, to play for their girl. Mm-hmm. I mean, so it was just the real deal. And so that's what I felt has kind of moved out of the forefront, is that message about real love. But you still pass it on, and you still give the advice can. And I'll support anybody that's trying to do it, because my thing is this is not an easy arena to be in, industry to be in anyway. So I support anybody who makes it, you know, in any part of this. But you got to keep going. And if you believe in what you're doing and you go all in with it, that's all you can do. How far you go is not really up to you anymore, because you can give it everything that you have. But without somebody who is actually maybe willing to put out that stepping stone to get you to the next one, even when they get you to that next stage, it's still got to be somebody on the other side of that stepping stone that's willing to take you in. So it's a process through this whole thing, but you just got to believe, and trust me, like you said, 30 years, it's been actually 40 that I've been doing this. And as long as I've been doing this, and I still love it, there were times that I was like, I just couldn't believe it. I'm listening to some of the stuff out there, and I'm like, I know my stuff is better than that or just as good or whatever. And I almost gave up. I almost gave up a few times, but then I said, you know what? How can you tell somebody to believe in what you're doing if you give up? Because they'll never get a chance to hear it. And it's only going to take one time for one of them to do what it's supposed to do, especially with the new stuff that I have.
Wow. See, when you said that, you really took me back for a moment. I think everybody's stage is not the same. You know what I mean? And what I mean by that is I think about Coachella. Like right now, Coachella, like it's trending on Twitter. And I think about when Beyonce played at Coachella. Like I didn't go see Beyonce at Coachella. She's an incredible performer. But it's kind of like if I throw out a couple of names, Cher, Janet, Michael, Usher. You know what I mean? We already know that they have, you know, they have really made their mark. They have cemented their legacy, you know, in music history, if you will. I said, but I believe that God calls everybody to a certain place. You know what I mean? And some people's stage may be Broadway. Some people's stage may be film. Some people's stage may be television. Some people's stage may be festivals. Everybody's stage is just different. And I just believe that God is going to charge and task each one of us with the gift. It's like, what did you do with the talent and the gift that I gave you? It's like, don't look to the left, don't look to the right, but look straight on and do what I called you to do, because you can make an impact, for example, that Usher can't necessarily make. Like he's flipping and dancing and scooting around and gyrating and God bless him and all that. You don't have to do anything. You can just stand still, open up your mouth, and people will faint. Did I say it? Yeah, I said it. It's true. So
no, and meeting some of the people that I've met at that upper echelon, like my number one mentor is Phil Perry. I mean when I say mentor, I can call him anytime and we have conversations. And he has told me when it was not good. He's very honest. He's super honest.
Extremely honest.
Yes. But he is my heart. And you know, you got a chance to, what is it that you need to do? How can you do what you do? People have, you know, when I was a little younger, compared me to his styling of having, you know, Phil had six outfits. I had closer to five, four and a half. And, but just learning how to play with them and when to play with them, because you say you're trying to use them all in one song. He says, you know, sometimes you can't do all of that. and especially not on every song, you know. So, I had to, you know, the one thing that we do because of the way that we are in our age group is we took that in and you know, corrected it. Nowadays you say something like that, somebody getting offended and all of that, and we're just trying to put it out there to help you. That's all. Because he's been successful. All I can do is listen.
Oh, God. Like, Lord, I probably interviewed Phil maybe 10 or 12 years ago. I see his wife's face. I cannot think of her name. I remember she's a teacher. I believe they have three boys, if I'm correct. Did I get that right?
Well, they have, I think they have two boys and a girl. I know they have two boys and a girl.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And,
I know there's some boys in there somewhere.
and his wife's name is Lily.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, my God. It was going to come back to me. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So with that being said, I want to ask you a question, but I want you to think about it as we get ready to go to break. And I want to play this song, which is made famous by the British band in Manchester, England, Simply Red, and you did a beautiful remake on this classic, Holding Back the Years. So if you want to set it up, you can. Let us know why you decided to pick this song as a remake. I want to play it for the fans. We're going to come back with more good coffee and great chat. But the question that I have for you that I want you to consider while we're listening to the song is, if you could have steaming hot coffee with any artist, past or present, who would it be and what would you ask them? So that is the question, and then set up why you did the remake, and then we'll play it for the fans and we'll come back.
Okay. So I can answer the question when we come back.
Mm-hmm.
Or you want me to answer the question now?
No, answer the question. I want you to contemplate
okay.
the answer.
Okay.
And then I want
okay.
you to set
okay,
up
I'll
the song
that.
While you did the remake, and then we'll play it for the
okay.
fans.
So I did the remake of that one. A friend of mine, Erica, like my sister, she had told me about that song. And, I mean, I had heard it, just never thought about doing it. And then when I started listening to it and I heard kind of this different vibe to it, it was like,
mm-hmm.
you know what, let's give it a shot. So once I laid the rough vocal, then I started hearing background.
Ooh.
I was like, okay, we can do this one. So that's why I did it. I did Erica, if you're listening, this one, you called this one. I hate to give her props, though. I really do, but she called this one. Yeah, she called
oh
that
Oh, my
one.
Gosh. I got to tell you, you showed out when you sang this. You guys, this is my friend, you know, Cole, a.k.a. Classic Tris, singer, songwriter, producer. Let's take a listen, shall we? And it is loading slowly, very slowly. Ooh, wonder why it's not loading. You know what? Let's play Loving You, and then we'll come back and we'll reload this. Okay, what is happening with the music? So you know what? Let me reload the tracks. Everything is loaded up. And then if you could go ahead and answer the question, then we'll go ahead and we'll pull up those tracks another
okay,
way.
So I can ask, it's easy to answer that question. My answer would be, my answer would be Barbara Streisand.
Ooh.
And how do I get to that level of elegance to capture that crowd? Because I would love to sing for that high end just crowd to mesmerize them the way that she does when she's on stage. She's been one of my favorites since I was very young. She's amazing as a artist, and the way she carries herself on stage is just it's unbelievable.
Have you seen her perform live?
Nope, never seen her perform. Not being there. I've seen her live on television, but you know, just I've watched her movies. I've seen her concerts on television or video, and I just feel like as a you know, for a female singer, she is definitely, I would say, probably in my top two. It was just something about the way she just demanded your heart from the first line. I met her, but I didn't see her sing.
Really?
Yeah.
That is incredible.
Working with the film industry in L.A. and her studio was upstairs, and we were on the elevator at the same time, and I spoke to her and she spoke, but that was the extent of it. But just listening to her sing and watching her even perform, whether it was movies or in her concerts, she's unbelievable.
Elegant, classy.
Yeah.
I have not had the pleasure. I think like one of my favorite movies is Hello, Dolly. Like when I saw her in that, I was like,
mm-hmm.
wow. And then to think about her career, I mean, yeah, I mean, she's,
yeah.
of course, you know, she cemented her legacy like a long, long, long time
long
ago.
Time
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
A long,
yeah.
long, long,
yeah.
long time. A long time ago.
Yeah.
While we reload our music, looks like there's something that's going on with the program board. So I'm going to reload it and try and pull them up another way because everything was loaded. We tested everything. So it's a mechanical something, but the music is there. So while we go on with our question, how would you say your style has evolved since you started? Because, I mean, 40 years is a long time. It's a long time.
Because the first, I would say probably the first, my nickname in high school when I first started singing, because singing was not my thing. I wanted to play pro ball.
Really?
Pro basketball. Oh yeah, I was gonna be a pro basketball player, period. And singing was just a thing. They had a show called The White Shadow, where the guys were singing in the shower and blah blah blah. And so me and a couple of the guys from the team were singing, and they were like, "Have you heard this dude? Have you heard this dude?" And we put a little group together, and that was like how it started. I was a junior in high school, and I enjoyed listening to the girls scream when we got on stage. So that's what got me. That's what got me on stage. The rest of it was irrelevant.
So this is what you wanted. That you wanted that we feeling real quick.
Yes. That's how I got into it. But I was known as, they called me Plutherborn. It was a mix between Peebo Bryson, Luther Vandross, and Jeffrey Osborne. That was my nickname between the group, Plutherborn. And so
say
I did that one
more time.
Plutherborn.
Pluther. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. My buddy Dooney gave me that nickname because I did all of the stuff that they did. I could do it to the T. Anything Jeffrey or Peebo or Luther was doing, I did all of their stuff. And we were doing Boyz II Men before Boyz II Men was even thought about. We were doing, matter of fact, the first few shows that we did, we opened for Maserati, which was one of Prince's groups. We opened for Full Force, and we were doing it all a cappella, but we were doing other people's stuff. So the way that what changed for me is I had to learn how to do what I do and not what Peebo or Luther or Jeffrey was doing, because that was what I thought I was supposed to be doing. So I had to learn who Gino was.
Hello, this is Marjane, contemporary gospel recording artist. Do you love good coffee and a great chat? Well, today is your chance to peek behind the curtain with your favorite artist. Are you celebrating a birthday? If so, join us with the Coffee Talk Jazz Radio Birthday Club. Send us a text at 562-355-0311 or email us at coffeetalkjazzradio@msn.com. We'll also give you a live shout-out and plenty of Twitter love. You never know what you might win. Call us today if it's your birthday at 347-934-0108. Be sure to follow our tweet and also follow us on Facebook. So happy birthday from Miss Bridget and the Coffee Talk Jazz crew.
Hi, this is guitarist Ken Navarro. Have you heard about Coffee Talk Jazz Radio? Join the Coffee Talk party each and every week with radio personality and host Ms. Bridget Lewis. You'll experience the very best there is in diversity and talent. Get ready to hear rich, cutting-edge sounds along with contemporary jazz, smooth jazz, a touch of funk, straight ahead, modern bebop, and swing. Jazz musicians like me dig deep when they play, and we write from our souls while creating one-of-a-kind music. You'll hear lyrics, even though no one's speaking on each track. There's always a unique and undeniable message in each and every song. You'll hear music of mine like this, The Stars, The Snow, The Fire, a track from my brand new CD, Dreaming of Trains. So make it a point to be a part of Coffee Talk Jazz Radio every week with host Miss Bridget Lewis. I'm Ken Navarro.
Hey guys and dolls, we are back and we're broadcasting live. You listen to the very best in Block Talk Radio. Here at Coffee Talk Jazz with me, your girl on the mic, award-winning host, Miss Bridget Lewis. And today we are celebrating birthdays. So if it's your birthday, I would love to give you a gift. But you got to show me proof that today is your birthday, April the 12th, on this beautiful, cool, overcast Friday here in Los Angeles. I see the board is lit up. Press the 1 on your phone. I'll go and open up the board. And you all can ask Gino Coe any question that is relevant to his music. But today we celebrate Herbie Hancock's birthday, who was an American film composer, keyboardist. He turns 84 today, and he's had an incredible career. And then Vince Gill, country music singer, turned 67 today. And then Will Sargent, guitarist of the Bunnymen, also turns 68 today. So, Gino, we are back, and the board is lit up. Are you ready to answer some questions?
Maybe.
So it's Friday, so Gino, he's going to sort of kind of behave. You guys, press the one on your phone. I see that the boards are lit up, so we're very, very excited. So while we're waiting for someone to press, I see you guys are hanging out. We're waiting for someone to press the one on the board. I have a couple more questions for you, and the music has been reloaded. So, you know, the next question that I have for you, being in this business for 40 years is no small feat. So there are a lot of landmines in the business. And what would be one or two landmines that you would tell a novice that they should avoid getting into this business?
Bogus contracts. when you jump into this business, you know, you get a lot of people that's talking about being an agent, a manager, record label. Research it first. Don't just jump in.
Hello.
Research them more than research it. Research what they've done. You know, see if you can find out anything about what they've done before you put yourself out there, because and then that way you know that they have some type of track record that can actually do what they say. So that's one of the biggest things. And the other thing that I would say to anybody, and I'm a big time American Idol fan. I have been since Kelly Clarkson. And what I would tell anybody is, stay in your lane. I mean, there's some people out there that want to do country, or there's some people that want to do funk, or there's some people that want to do, you know, opera, and that's not what your niche is. Find your niche and stay in your niche to give yourself the best opportunity.
Wow.
So that's it. That
you
be,
know what?
That would
I agree with you. That was good. Okay, so listen. I hope you all have your fennel pass out and your number two pencils, and I hope you're taking notes because he is smacking it down. He's giving the answers. So we have a caller who wants to ask a question. I'm going to go ahead and open up the board. Hello, hello, hello. You're on live with Ms. Bridget Lewis and my very special guest, Gino Cole. Looks like the last four digits of your number are 6063. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from and what is your question.
Calling from San Diego. My name is Mike McGee. I have more of a comment. I had
okay,
the opportunity.
Awesome. Welcome. Welcome, Mike.
I had the opportunity to drum on stage with Gino a couple times, and to this day, he still gave me the greatest musical experience by watching him play or perform, and he talked about Barbara Streisand and capturing the audience. I have never seen somebody capture an audience like Gino, just playing at a local level. Is hearing him sing and watching everybody in the bar stop and pause and look at who was on stage. So, how do you know?
What's going on, Mr. Mike? I knew who it was right from the jump, man. How's the family?
Very good, sir. Thank you.
Thank you so much for all of the love, buddy. And you know my love for you goes deep for a lot of years.
Well, you gave me some of the greatest musical moments of my rather junior career, but I just want to reach out. It's something I looked Facebook, saw you were on here, so I just wanted everybody to know what a talent this guy has, and just at every level, just a great human being and a great vocalist. So I just wanted to reach out and say I'm thinking of you, buddy.
Thanks a lot, Mike.
Wow. Thank you so much. And because you are our first caller, we definitely have a gift for you. I heard that Gino mentioned family. Do you have little ones?
I have two girls that are now 14 and 12.
Well, awesome. So check this out. So I got to tell you, we have the Covenant Coffee Talk Jazz Radio and Coffee Talk Jazz Magazine shirts. And the only way you can get them is to win them or to see us at a festival. And so I would love to gift two of those shirts to your beautiful daughters. And then if you can just go to, well, you know what? I'll have Gino to give me your address and all that, if that's okay. And then we'll get those shipped out to you this week.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you so much. And I appreciate your podcast. This has been great to listen to.
Thank you so much for calling me. We really appreciate it. Stand by.
All right. Take care.
Oh. Gino, what do you think about this?
Yeah,
he's getting love from San Diego.
That was my buddy. That was my buddy. That's one of the first drummers that I played with when I moved to Southern California from Northern California. Great guy. Yeah.
Wow, that is so good. So I want to talk about your beautiful wife for a moment. Can I mention her name?
No, I'm just saying,
You better stop because this is my show and I was going to mention anyway, but I did want to ask for permission because, you know, some folks, they want to kind of like stay in the dark. I want to give a big shout out to your wife, Donna. That woman is incredible. And so the question is this, how important is it to have a spouse or a partner supporting you in this business?
Oh, if you're gonna have somebody in your life, they better be supportive and strong, because this industry, you can get so wrapped up in it and lost in it. And when you have somebody that supports you, that can also hone it back, you know, and pull you into reality, and you know, hit you in the mouth in a sense when just to let you know this is real. You know, you need that. And it's been 20 years, and so, you know, she knows what buttons to push, and some of the buttons that I, you know, I'm trying to have them replaced, but you know, she knows how to push the buttons, and been when I talk about support, I couldn't have had anybody better in my corner.
That is such a beautiful thing. So with that being said, I want to go on to the next song. Everything has been reloaded, and this track is called "Love Loving You." Was this dedicated to her?
That was written for her too.
Now look at that, Missy. I mean, a little birdie told me on my shoulder. So we're going to go ahead and just going to play this for the fans. It's called "Loving You" by our good friend Gino Cole.
Smile when you're fast asleep, so cute, just like a child. Like the way you do your hair, there's a flip and a stare, like you just don't care.
Coffee and great jazz, right here at Coffee Talk Jazz Radio with your radio personality, Miss Bridget Lewis. You'll get a chance to talk with your favorite artists and experience world-class contemporary, gospel, smooth jazz greats right here at www.blogtalkradio.com/Miss Bridget Lewis. Show's call-in number is 1-347-934-0108. Also, follow us on Twitter at www.twitter.com/coffeetalkjazz. All shows are in Pacific Standard Times, Tuesdays 3 to 6 p.m., Wednesdays from 3 to 6 p.m., and Fridays 1 to 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Don't miss a beat.
Don't you love steaming hot coffee and a great chat? How about insightful interviews with award-winning and upcoming performers? Hi, I'm Vincent Wolfe, inviting you to tune in every week to Coffee Talk Jazz Radio with Ms. Bridget Lewis. It's the number one jazz radio show on the internet, available at blogtalkradio.com/Ms. Bridget Lewis. Tell your friends and let them know Vincent Wolfe sent you.
Hey guys and dolls, we are back. And in case anyone was ever wondering, our vision here at Coffee Talk Jazz is to increase the profile of jazz music through education, listener participation, and more. We bring in the latest information about jazz festivals, award shows, concerts, great artists, and much, much more. And we've been talking with author, singer, songwriter, and performer Gino Cole. So I want to talk about you as an author. You have a book out, and it's called Five Steps to Black. Ooh. So let's talk about this. Talk about what you love most about the writing process, the character, why you created him. Because, man, I'm telling you, I mean, as I was reading everything, and I won't give it away, I'll let you, like, kind of set everything up, I'm thinking, wow, why would he get a car? Why would he get in the car? I'm like, what happened to the man's mind? Okay, so. Let's talk about you. Also, what do you love number one about the writing process? Let's start with that first. Because I'm excited because I'm a book author too, y'all. So let's get into it, shall we?
What I enjoy about the writing is I get to really tell my perspective of what I see. And through the way that not only this book but the other three that I have coming out. The story was so important to get out, but knowing how to put it together to make it make sense to where it just wasn't like all over the place and still have such a deep message, that was the enjoyable part.
Tell us a little bit about the character in this book. Like, how did you create the character? Or I can set it up, but tell us, how did you create the character? What's his name? And just give the folks like a little bit of teaser, because we want them to go and purchase and buy your book, because we know they can get that like through your website and through Amazon.
Okay, so it's Charlie and it's Charles, and it's Charles is the Charlie is the main character. He's an attorney, high end attorney, Harvard graduate. He's arrogant, he's racist, he's privileged, he's nasty, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He's the only one that matters. His alter ego gives him a different perspective on life. That's the best way to give it to you without giving it away. And once that alter ego comes in, it just makes Charlie think about his ways and who he is and things that he's overlooked that makes now that's where the title comes in. It's called Five Steps Black. And it's not about being black or white or anything. It's more, in a nutshell, it's more about walking in someone else's shoes. You don't know what they go through unless you've walked in their shoes. You can be the same nationality, you can be the same height, you can be the same weight. But what that person standing next to you is going through, you will never know unless you're walking in their shoes, and that's what the book is talking about.
Wow. when you said that, you really took me back thinking about the relationship I had with my late grandfather, whose name was Richard Bass, educated country man, pastor, earned his doctorate. I just saw so many things that he went through. And one of the things that we did when you were talking about that, just we always talking about, he would always say, you know, either walk the walk, don't talk the talk, but then walk the walk. And so one of the things that I remember before he passed, Senator Obama was, of course, running for president. And mm-hmm. I had the privilege of putting him in the car and us driving for him to go and vote in the election. And he said, wouldn't it be mm-hmm. something if we had our first black president, right? He
right.
got a chance to
right.
vote in the election, but unfortunately, my grandfather passed in October of that same year, and then the election
wow.
was in November, and the inauguration was in January.
Yeah,
and one
yeah.
of the things that I remember when my grandfather passed, for whatever reason, I always seem to be that person that everybody wants to give the money to, the house to, the car to. And I'm the one like, I don't want any of that because
right.
I'm like, I don't want anything to do with it. I just happen to be the one who happens to have like loving relationships with all of my elders. You know what I mean? And so
right.
I just remember my mom and my uncle asking me, you know, what do you want of his? And I said, I want his shoes and his glasses.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember putting on my grandfather's shoes and them being too big. And it was just something about
mm-hmm.
me putting my feet in his shoes and me putting on those glasses to see what he saw, to kind of
mm-hmm.
walk where he will. I still have his shoes. I still have
mm-hmm.
his glasses. My grandfather passed in 2008. So when you said that, you really took me back because you just don't know what people are walking through. I said, you can look at them. They look one way. They seem like they have everything. You know what I mean? And yet still they
yeah.
have nothing. I'll use someone. I won't name the name. These folks are wealthy. When I say wealthy, they could retire today. Don't have to worry
right.
about money or anything, but they work as if they're broke.
Right.
It's amazing.
Right.
They work
yeah.
as if they're broke. They're married, but they rarely see each other, and
yeah.
they're both exhausted. And I'm trying to figure out, like, when are you going to sit down? You know, I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
are you going to
yeah.
sit down? I go, is it all worth the hustle, the bustle, and the grind? But it's like, when are you going to sit down and enjoy the fruit of your labor? So you talk about walk where people walk, you never know. And I just remember posing the question to the person, and I said, when is enough enough? And the person said, we just want to make, and I could not believe the answer. The answer was, we just want to make sure that we're not going to be greeters at Walmart when we retire. I'm like, wait, what?
I'm talking,
they've got like property, all the properties are paid for, millions
yeah.
of dollars in the bank. They work like crazy. They pass each other
yeah.
in the house. And I'm like, okay, I don't get it. But you just never know what people's mindset. But anyway, so you being a book author, you know, and then me reading like the back of the cover, I want you all to run and not walk to Amazon and pick up this book. And then, Gino, can you please provide your website before we play the next song?
Gino.
And of course the song wants to reload. Now, of course.
It's Gino.com, and that's GENE-O.com.
Okay. All right. So I think the last thing I want
to say.
Right. Simple and to the point. I wanted to get into a couple of fun facts because we're counting down. I definitely want to honor your time because we've been on like right in an hour. I want you to think about this. Well, I'm sure that Shauna would say he probably doesn't do anything for fun because you probably work and sing all the time. But what do you do for fun? What do you do in your downtime? I want to go ahead and play the track until I meet you. Set this up for us and then come back and answer that question, and we're going to take it out with another track. that you're going to set this up for us till I meet you?
You know what? That one is like today's sound, and it was so funny. As I said, I heard like the music, and I was like, mm-hmm. my kids would love it. So I played it for my daughter, and she was like, Daddy, mm-hmm. I love this song. So I said, well, let me go in and record it for real then.
For real, right?
So now it's one of her favorites. But, I mean, the young kids, her and our son, which is, you know, 22 and getting ready to be 25, they love it. So I was like, okay, so I'm doing it for today's group too. So I'm good with that.
Take a listen, y'all. Oh, yeah, I feel you on this.
I never met no one like you before. I've been living on an island without a shore. I couldn't see the light in front of me. I couldn't feel the flame that was burning to be. Until I met you, my valley point of view.
My point of view.
You opened up a lonely place.
Oh, till I met something new. My life wasn't lonely.
Until I met you, the darkness I was in. Somehow you found the key.
I'm glad you came in.
We were torn.
Hey guys, this is Broadcasting Live. It is your host, Ms. Bridget Lewis, with my very special guest. So the question that I have for you is, what do you do for fun in your downtime?
I like British TV, like drama series, a crime series, but British. I watch that like in the downtime. That's usually like right after dinner or something like that. So because what we decided we do, because she's on the computer all day doing whatever she does. Plus, we're getting ready to start a podcast in June, so we're preparing for that. So, and then I, you know, I'm finishing up the last book of my trilogy and trying to finish up this album at the same time. So, but what we said is dinner time, and we take at least time during dinner to do it together. We don't do it in separate places. And also we'll watch an episode or two of a show. That's quiet time away from the computer, the music, everything. So we make sure we get that in every day.
Wow.
So for the most part, that's the downtime that we do. And then we go to the gym. Now we just joined the gym, and we go to the gym usually between 6 and 7, and we'll work out before the day gets going.
Okay. Wow. Mm-hmm. This has really been a really insightful interview. I thank you so much for your time. I know that you're extremely busy. I know that y'all just moved across the other side of the world, or really on the other side of the country. So I'm wishing you guys much success in your new spaces. Nothing like a new environment to give you like a different vantage point and perspective. And then share with our fans, like, where can they purchase your music, and then where can they watch you or listen to you live?
Well, right now I'm really focused on the mission in regards to the book and getting that message of love out there. Well, I'm hoping to be doing a book tour. If all goes well, we'll be hopefully doing a book tour come June. But as far as my music goes, I'm on every platform. And the new music will be coming out sometime during the summer, I would say, because I have three albums that I'm finishing up at the same time. So, yeah.
Wow.
So it's a lot
going on.
Yeah.
This has been such an amazing show. Again, thank you so much for your time. I think that you're an incredible singer, songwriter, producer. I cannot wait to see you perform live again. You're one of my favorite people, one of the most sincere people that I know. And again, thank you and shout out to your beautiful wife, Shauna, who has just been, she's been wonderful. Gina and I, we're doing some other things y'all will know as we continue to move forward with what we're doing. And it's been so exciting watching you grow and stretch and become. And I want to say, with music on our hearts and with jazz in our souls, I want to thank you, our friends, fans, and supporters, for making Coffee Talk Jazz award-winning and number one. We love you for listening. You guys enjoy your day, and we'll see you next time. We're going to go ahead and take it out, the track called Cascade by trumpeter Ron King and Paul Brown. Bye, guys. Enjoy your day.